We want to welcome our guest, Marianne, to Blind Ambition. And this is, well, you know what? How about we do this? We'll do something different. We'll just jump right into Rick, because you know Marianne very well. And from what you said, she's an awesome person. So maybe you can make a more personalized introduction to her, and she can tell all about her awesome company that she's working for.
Yes, of course. So Mary Ann is the Chief People Officer at Notion. And Notion is a workplace productivity app. People use it as their all-in-one workplace, bring together to-do lists, documents, and even product roadmaps. More relevant to Blind, it is one of the most popular companies that our community is asking about. So we're excited to have Mary Ann on. Mary Ann, can you describe, like, what do you do as a day-to-day as a Chief People Officer?
Yes. Well, hello again, Rick. It's great to be reconnected. Let's see, as the Chief People Officer of Notion, as you would imagine, every day is wildly different. And I think is why I love being in the people space so much. 1 hour, you'll be talking about the long-term strategy of like the people programs for the company. And then the next, you know, moment, there might be a fire drill to put out. But how I view the role of a chief people officer, it just really anyone in the people space, is crafting a really meaningful and intentional employee experience for our employees. So how we attract really great talent, to how we invite them in and have a great recruiting process that's reflective of what it's like to look to work here. We're hiring at quite a rapid pace, so ensuring onboarding and everyone is set up for success with the tools and the systems and the accesses they really need to be successful, as well as really making sure Notion in particular is a great place to work. Every all hands, we talk about how one of our top three goals of the company is making sure it's a place where people can do their best and most meaningful work. So when you look back upon your career 10 or 20 years from now, this should be the place where you work with a collection of some of the greatest talents and worked on some of the most challenging problems to really build your own career.
Fantastic.
Wow. So I'm curious, you have insights into how people are using Notion, I imagine, to set up their own workplaces. Are there any like best practices that you've learned from your own users, your own community?
Absolutely. Well, probably not surprising. We at Notion love and use Notion all day long. There's so much you can do on the people space. It really is our internal intranet, where on your first day of work, it is where you find our company mission and vision, our values. We're extremely transparent as a company. So almost anything you would ever want to know, you can certainly find out within internally. It's how we run our OKR processes and goal setting as a company. It's how we make sure employees know about whom each other is in terms of our employee directory, as well as like fun events that are coming up as well. So it really is like the single source of truth as an employee to learn more about what we stand for as a company and like how to stay connected as well.
Wow, that's fascinating.
So some of the biggest things I see during the pandemic, Mary Ann, is the war for talent, the great resignation, and how to attract, recruit, and retain people, and then keep attrition down. You're a global firm, so I imagine it's different in every country, but how do you navigate? Because that's a big task. That's probably like one of the biggest things I hear from companies trying to deal with this.
Yeah, absolutely. We've done pretty well on both of those so far, so fingers crossed. But I think it's all about being authentic and knowing who you are as a company. So before going to market and trying to attract great talent, it's like understanding like what are your core values as a company and ensuring that you articulate that to prospective candidates and make sure that you're interviewing with that in mind. So that way there's a really strong alignment when you do have new hires starting. As an example, our CEO still interviews every single candidate at Notion to ensure that everyone aligns with our company values is just one example. On the retention side, I think what we've seen over the past 2 years is that people really want to have a sense of community within the place that they work, that it's not enough just to have it be a place that you work. You want it to be a place that stands for something in greater society and where you actually feel like you belong as an individual. So as a company, even before we had 100 employees, we had 8 affinity groups that we created to make sure that regardless of your background and your, you know, lived experiences, that you had a home and kind of community that you had access to as a company. And I think just being very proactive about creating those moments of connection are so important as well.
When you say the affinity group, so I get what, because I hear from other companies too, they feel, hey, we have a distributed network. Now, maybe some are in hybrid, some aren't, some are just remote, and they could feel lost and isolated. So like, do you have these groups where you say, hey, let's get them together, whatever their interests are?
Yeah.
So you kind of get a community going. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So as an example, I am the sponsor of the Parents Affinity Group. We have quite a few parents at Notion. One of our other founders is the sponsor of our Immigrants Affinity Group. So it really is just a collection of individuals that have a shared identity. At the company, we do a lot to really support the leaders of the group as well. We take it so seriously that every leader of an affinity group receives equity in Notion, because we believe that you're contributing to building the company, which I think also just shows that we like pay for the work that you're doing as well. And then from there, there's lots of, it really depends on where the group is in their own journey, honestly. A lot of times, especially the past 2 years, it's been mostly about building a really strong community. So some groups will do moving watching nights, other groups have book clubs, other groups like to do more in-person socials. So it really does vary, and we try not to be too prescriptive as a company, and instead just give the group leaders the tools that they need to do what's best for their own community, and then make sure that they have money and resources to do that as well.
And are these online or through Zoom, or how do you get these together?
We do a mix. Our office is actually open right now for study hall. So you might notice I'm sitting in an office right now. So sometimes for the parents group, we'll all go out to lunch together as a group, is just like one example. For the AAPI, our Asian American affinity group, they recently did a Lego building competition as well. So, and that was in person. And then sometimes things are more remote as well. So it's really a hybrid. And I think that's what people are looking for too, is like different types of experiences that kind of like best fit with their own lives.
One thing we've been hearing a lot about and is often discussed on Blind is professionals really want this feeling of flexibility or this kind of ownership or autonomy over their own schedules or how they do their work. Have you been seeing this? What do you think about this trend?
Yep, it's Notion, because it is, you know, a doc that helps you collaborate asynchronously, that's always been just kind of embedded in the culture itself, is do your work whenever you can best do it, and then kind of trusting that as well. So we have pretty prescriptive communication norms as a company. One example is everything is transparent by default. So if you ever have a question of, you know, why do we do something some way, you don't just directly message an individual. Instead, you would put it in a group chat, like for the greater people team or the engineering team, so everyone can continue learning from each other around the clock as well. And then I think working asynchronously actually allows you to kind of set the hours that work best for you. I've never worked a weekend since joining Notion, so I can say that people are very respectful of that rest time as well.
We can't kind of go back, Mary. So wait, I'm not sure if I caught that. So if you bring something up, you would not just, let's say Rick and I were talking about some issue or some technology, we would then share it with everyone or just all the teams involved?
Yeah, I would say it is terrifying at first. It took me a couple of months, honestly, to get used to this style, but I love it now. So as an example, that just happened today. There's an employee I'm working with who is relocating from San Francisco to New York. So instead of me just pinging our HR generalist who had helped facilitate the move, I put it in our people channel. And then it was great because then a member of our environment team saw someone was moving to New York and is going to do a custom like lunch to welcome them. You had someone in our IT team who's like, I will help give them the tools and systems they need. So even without thinking about it, you almost need less process because you're so transparent with information that people are able to kind of learn from each other as well.
I love that idea because you could learn from that, so that if it's just you and I are talking, I know what I know, you know what you know, that's it. But now you put out to 100, you have about 100 people there, right? So conceivably 100 people will be looking at it and you could have so many different takes.
Yep.
And then I wonder too, it seems like cool too, because let's say I'm not a tech person, I'm in marketing, but I want to learn about it. So by hearing you have that conversation, I'm going to understand it better. And that might make my job better when it comes to marketing, because now I'm like, oh, I understand what you're doing. That makes sense. And I can explain it better. I
think it really does build more trust amongst employees as well. I think it expedites the learning process and the onboarding process quite a bit. So you always have access to the information that you might need. And if you're curious, there's always an answer. And I think that's just very authentic to Notion's style as well.
How do you deal with like disagreements? Do you ever see?
Great question. Yes.
Great,
you asked that. Yes.
Yeah. I think it just depends, obviously, on the situation. So it's a very, one of our company values is being kind and direct. And I think you see that in how people operate. And, you know, that's one of our operating principles. So you never have like gotchas that are being thrown out there in Slack. It's, and another one of our values is that we seek the truth, or we are truth seekers. So really trying to understand like the root cause or the root solution as well. So if we're doing our job right and making sure everyone we hire embodies our values and that we're reinforcing those throughout, I think you have like an embedded sense of trust amongst your employees to like have this respectful discourse as well.
Wow. And I guess by the CEO interviewing, it's that sets the, you know, the stage for everything thereafter, because you know, the CEO is kind of feeling out, you're feeling, your team is looking at it. And then, and I imagine too, down the road, if someone realizes, well, this is not for me, I don't like this radical candor, what have you, that's okay. Then you say, all right, this is not for me, I realize it, I'll move on. But it's a good way to kind of inculcate those values from beginning to, you know, right from the beginning, meeting the CEO, which says a lot.
Our CEO always talks a lot about recruiting for him should be a two-way conversation, and that it should feel very human, and this almost like conversation that you're having with someone at a bar and not like an interrogation at the airport or border. And so it's like, how do you keep it really real and honest? So someone who works here knows what it's really like to work here, and the good and the bad, right? And so that way you can opt in and make sure, you know, you have a great experience once you join.
So what is the interview process like at Notion, right? So I imagine you speak with the CEO probably towards the end, but I mean, how does it all start?
Yep, we are hiring. So if you are interested, please apply to Notion. We really do look at every resume and every applicant that comes in. So in all sincerity, the easiest way is just to apply via our jobs page. What we really look for, I'd say, are three main things in our hiring process. So one is, do you have the skills to be successful and excel in the job itself? So depending on the type of interview, you know, there's various skills assessments. So for engineering, it's programming. On sales, it's, you know, do you have a customer-centric approach to how you like sell and pitch? The second thing is like, are you really motivated to work at Notion in particular? And have you done your research? Or is it just that we're another pre-IPO fast-growing startup, but we want to hire people who authentically believe in our mission of like really creating more tool makers in society? And the third, probably the most important to me, but I would say equally important, is making sure that everyone has shared or aligned values with Notion. So that way there's just a sense of trust and belonging once everyone joins here. So it really is, we interview based on skills, the motivation for Notion as the company, and then do you share our values as well?
Got it. And there's some companies, you know, like Amazon is very famous for being values driven. And during their interviews process, they coach you during the interview. You want to answer your questions in a certain way to embody almost like a checklist or a different list of values. Is that the same approach? Should we?
I hope it's different. I mean, yes, we are very intentional that, and our values are that we look for people who are owners of our mission. We look for pace setters, so people who love to move very quickly. We look for truth seekers, so people who always want to understand the root kind of problem. And we are kind and direct. So making sure it is a warm place to work as well. Those would be the four. We don't want to trick anyone. I think it's more about like genuine curiosity on like who the person is to make sure it's the best place for them to work as well. So there would never be any like right answer to the question. It's more of like, how do you create a comfortable environment. And it is a great place to work. And so I think the interview process should be reflective of what it's actually like to work here, which is quite warm and like community focused as well.
Got it. So no need to come in prepped like a consulting or...
I did not prep for any of my interviews, and I somehow got in. And I think it was all about being just authentic with my experiences, good and bad. And I think that does more for Notion.
Got it.
Yeah, Rick, I guess because in your world where it's a lot of tech people, that whole interview process is very different, right? It's not as conversational as, let's say, a marketing or sales or other accountant, right? Is that how it works on your site?
Yeah, and Marianne, is there a coder pad or a whiteboarding session for engineers?
Of course there is. Oh. Yes. So, but for the skills assessments, that's where you would do a lot of those style of interviews of like pair programming on the engineering side to make sure it's a good fit on the skills side.
And besides the values, is there a particular profile that you look for or you have noticed is really popular among your team, like any specific languages or skills even?
We're a very global company, which I think surprises people. Over 70% of our users are outside of the United States. So we're a lot of our hiring is, of course, in San Francisco and New York, where we have offices in the States, but we're also hiring quite a bit in Ireland, in Korea, and in Japan. And so I think that's a big focus for us, is making sure our employer brand itself represents just how international kind of our customers are. Something else I would say that I'm personally quite proud of is we're 50-50 men and women as a company. And so I do find that we're quite an attractive place to work for, especially women in leadership as well. It's very balanced as a company.
How did it get international so quickly? Were you first based somewhere else or no? San Fran, and then how did that happen?
I think it's a really product-led growth story where organically Notion became very popular in some markets. Korea is a great example. We localized early as a product there. And it's a very, a significant part of the company's growth and trajectory. So I think it's just actually, it's all fairly organic to date, but is a big reason I joined the company as well, is just getting to work for a company with that international exposure.
So does your CEO meet with international candidates or candidates abroad?
Of course he does.
Is he really? Wow.
I think he's the hardest worker I have ever met in my entire life. He's never missed an interview. He's never been late. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. How do you maintain or kind of propagate a consistent company culture when you have different, local cultures involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think you have to be mindful, of course, of letting each kind of local country celebrate what's unique. And there's a reason, to that. And I think that's actually organic to how Notion is as a product. For us, it really is embedded in the values themselves. Like that is globally consistent. But then how do you give, I really think of when you're opening up new offices, you need to make sure they have a very strong identity of what is their purpose or what is their mission. So for example, we would never just put four engineers in an office. We would instead know here is the team and the mission and the mandate. So all of our offices are very intentional in terms of what work is being done and how someone's career would progress there as well.
Wow. So are you sending folks abroad from the US to launch or open an office? Were you hiring primarily locally or a combination?
Well, it's been kind of tough the past 2 years. For our Dublin office, we did send two wonderful women that have been with the company for quite some time there to help be members of the landing team. And they've actually asked if they could stay, but unfortunately, I don't know if they'll be able to, but they're having a great time, I think. And then a mix of hiring local talent as well there. I'm actually fortunate enough for our Dublin office, I had spent a couple of years there earlier in my career. So our head of office was my first hire actually ever in my career. So it's kind of come full circle. So I know them quite well. And then similar in our Japan market, because we're hiring obviously for people who speak Japanese fluently, there's less internal transfers and more homegrown talent there. We do a lot of, we're big though on in-person collaboration and connectivity as a company. So by the time that this airs, we will have announced to our engineering team a rotation program where engineers can go work from our Japan or Korea offices for 2 to 3 weeks just to make sure they're building like a global awareness and mindset of the customers we have outside of the United States.
Wow, I want to like double tap into that. What was the kind of like, what kind of like sparked that idea to launch that initiative?
I think some of it's personal, honestly. I was really privileged early in my career. I got to work out of Hyderabad for 6 months when I was with Google. And I got to work, you know, in Dublin for 2.5 years with Dropbox. And I think just the learnings you get as a professional that like both on a personal level, but also bringing to the company, I think is just one of the best things you can do for someone earlier in their career. I also think it helps us be more globally aware as a company is to have people like actually work in new markets. You can look at all the metrics, you know, you want on a dashboard, but I think until you're in a country and you like feel what it's like to be there and like actually experience living there, it's hard to build like a compelling product for that market without just that user empathy as well. So I think a lot of it's grounded in making sure our engineering team stays like truly connected to our customers and users, because that's why we're all here.
It's interesting, Rick. That reminds me of something you had on your site where for DoorDash, they wanted to have the engineers and all the white collar workers go out there and deliver. And the theory to me made sense just because it's exactly what you're saying. Instead of culturally, this is, well, kind of culturally too, that you want to see how it's like to ride a bicycle or you take your car and deliver the food, go to the restaurant. And I was surprised by the backlash of people saying, no, I don't want to do it. And I'm thinking, well, I would probably want to do it because as a business owner myself, I like knowing what everyone does. I can't necessarily do whatever they do, but then I can appreciate how long it will take, you know, so I could empathize a little bit more when, you know, knowing that, oh, they're not dragging their feet. Yeah, this takes a long time because I've tried that myself and I realized how hard it is to do. So that's kind of a cool concept.
Funny that example, because that was a thread at Notion internally.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was interesting. It was like, how do we make sure we stay connected to customers as we scale? So we actually made quite a few changes, kind of inspired almost by the backlash of not wanting to ever be that. So every all hands, we always spotlight and interview a customer as like a grounding of like, and that's how we close every all hands of like, this is who we're here to serve and to support. Part of company onboarding is answering tickets. So whether you're engineer, people, team, customer experience, you really do need to know like how our product and what questions people have. And of course, just making, and we're building out a user research team now to make sure customers are just integrated and from the day from your onboarding to like years later to make sure you always stay connected as well.
That's fascinating. And has there ever been an experience where someone shows up, maybe they're an engineer on onboarding and they ask you, why am I completing tickets?
Not yet, but I'm sure that day is coming soon, Rick, but not yet.
Hopefully I didn't jinx you.
You know, it sounds, you know, so great, but what I hear from a lot of other people, other companies that I interview, big issue is the mental health, the emotional well-being, burnout. Do you have anything in place to kind of keep an eye on that, to gauge the temperature? Because I don't even want to say, I don't know how you feel. It almost feels like there's a crisis about that here in the whole states, not just in the workforce, but just, you know, everywhere.
Yeah, I would say this has been a big focus for Notion since I joined 6 months into the pandemic. So kind of unsurprisingly, this was a topic we wanted to be really progressive about and taking care of people. We've made a few programmatic changes, which I think have helped as well. One thing is the company has mandated vacations where everyone's off at the same time. And I think that really helps, especially in a role like even my own, where the only time you could really disconnect is if the company's also disconnected.
So like they all take off, like you take a week and everybody is.
Yeah. So everyone takes the same week. And then that it helps because when you come back, you don't have like this extra burden of like catching up from all the work that's being done. It's like everyone presses pause for a minute, goes on a great vacation and comes back. And I think that helps quite a bit. We've also gotten pretty proactive. We have unlimited vacation time, but we've gotten proactive at tracking like how many days people are taking, not to encourage people to take more. And so what our HR team does is if you haven't taken enough in a quarter or in a 6-month timeframe, we actually ping you and your manager to say like, hey, did you know you haven't taken vacation? And actually just to give awareness of that fact, because I've actually found people are more willing to take it when someone from like the people team and your manager is like, hey, you haven't taken vacation and you need to. And so I think just encouraging that. The other thing we've done is one of our affinity groups is focused on wellness as well. And so making sure people have a safe space there, as well as, I mean, very comprehensive benefits. I think our benefits are really like best in class for a company of our stage and size, and making sure people have access to professionals as they need to. We work with Spring Health as an example. And so everyone has access to therapy. We also give employees a monthly stipend through Level, which I'm a big fan of. And people can use that for additional support services as well. So you try to kind of, I don't think there's a one size fits all approach to mental wellness. I think it's more of your leadership setting the right tone from the top, that you're here for the long term and not just for a short term burnout, and actually like exemplifying that yourselves. And then I do think there's some programmatic changes that you can filter in.
That's great. I love the fact that you ping them and let them know, because I imagine take a regular business, but then a startup that's still kind of growing, fast growing, international. I know if I was younger and started there, I kind of feel guilty. I probably wouldn't. I'd be the one who probably would work. And not because I'm a hustle porn work guy, but I would just feel like, all right, I'm looking around like, all right, should I take off or not? Everyone's here. I probably would just stay. But if you would ping me and say, Jack, it's cool, take the day off. And first time I did, I'd get nervous. Like, why are you telling me to take the day off? What's up? Did I do something wrong?
Then I have scared a few people too.
That's a natural reaction. I think the first thing is like, why are you like, am I cranky? Did someone say something? Did I do something rude? But then I'll say, okay, you know, thank you. Good. Okay. I will take that time off and relax.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jack, have you heard of any company doing something similar where HR will talk to you and tell you to take holiday?
Not a lot, but I'm starting to see these things. I'm starting to see where, in fact, I was just speaking to the startup, an Israeli-based startup, where their whole thing, and I'm going to space out of their name, I want to say it's Sorbet, something like that, where they have the tech to show, okay, are you using your paid time off or not? And if you're not, to have what Marianne was saying, like to kind of let you know, hey, wait, you have this time off. So it's kind of an interesting, yeah. So I haven't, but to answer your question, I haven't seen it wholesale, but like, it's, you know what, it's more and more I speak to these people, it seems, and you both could appreciate this, because I think it's a war for talent, the great resignation. I think collectively we've all kind of are reimagining our jobs, and do we want to keep doing what we're doing? Do we want to change? And so that the leadership of a lot of companies is just trying to think, what could we do to make sure people are happy and they stay with us? And it could be paid time off, a week off, mental health days, free college tuition, upskilling, coaches. Seriously, I'm hearing like all sorts of interesting things. And I, as a Gen X, when I started working, no one, that wasn't a thing at all. Now that's front and center, which is to me amazing. I mean, this is like one of the best outcomes. This sounds weird to say from the pandemic, that companies are starting to really do all these things.
Yeah, I think it's destigmatized now. And it's like just part of the conversation. Like mental wellness is like, it's an expected part of any benefits offering. And I think that's very positive for society.
Are there any other benefits that you offer that you prod the employees to take advantage of?
I think Rick is saying, how come they're not doing it for me? Yeah, I gotta think there's a subtext. You want me to call Kim Kim for you and say, like, hey, Rick, come on, you gotta take care of him.
Why? Exactly.
I think the next, so we leaned in a lot to mental wellness over the past year. The one that I'm really excited to partner with our legal team, and we have a wonderful equity administrator, Miranda, who's partnering with the people team on this, but it's financial wellness. And I think so many people join startups, they know they have equity, but don't really know like how that can build wealth over time. So as a company, we're gonna roll out a 6-course training that's like custom to our employees of like how to actually build wealth, like how to think about equity, how much to save, and to make sure people have access to financial advisors in their career so you can really make the best decisions. I think that that's equal parts a gift to employees as well, is making sure you're taking care of yourself mentally as financially as well. So it's not as much a benefit, but it's something I think I'm just personally really excited about, because I would have definitely benefited from that earlier in my career.
Yeah, that's a great benefit. That's a great, how often do you read about like a basketball star or rock star or whoever, you know, blew through like ridiculous amounts of money, and you're like, how did that happen? It's easy to happen. If you don't have somebody like walking you through like how to take care of it, it's dangerous, especially for a young person who's making a lot of money really quickly.
Yeah, so, and like we have a 401k match, so it's making sure employees are like taking advantage of the match and know why it's important. And so, and it really is meeting people like all spectrums as well of like where they're at in terms of their awareness of financial literacy. I found that it's always less than you expect. So I think everyone will probably benefit from the sessions.
Gosh, that's amazing. Or Jack, I see articles where folks are taking their compensation in Bitcoin or something that they really don't understand yet, right?
It's a lot, you know. So you run from you know, Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham Jr. Across the board, where the mayor of Miami, you're seeing a lot of that taking. And just I was just writing about this now too, because with Deel, it's, you know, they I'm sure you're familiar, they kind of do all the back end stuff to have people working remotely. And they were saying that, I forgot the percentage, but a huge percentage of people are taking not everything in Bitcoin, not their whole salary, but a large amounts of, and not just Bitcoin, Ethereum and other cryptocurrencies. So it's a little bit of a trend that's coming on. But what happens too, it's so volatile. And I don't think, and this is where the financial wellness comes in. It's so volatile. If someone doesn't explain to them, if you have, let's say, let's just round numbers. Let's say you take your whole salary, because this happened to one of the football players. I think his baby Odell. He put, you know, he had like, let's just make a number, $100,000. But then it went down like 30%. So you're still taxed on that 100,000, but now you only have that 30 or 40,000 left. So if you don't have somebody explaining how that this could happen, you end up like, what happened? I got ripped off. This is terrible. Yep. So it's I don't know. I see more of a trend. I think it's one of those perks where people are like, yeah, this is great. And if Bitcoin, Ethereum, and everything else goes up, all right, they made a smart move. It doesn't, there's gonna be a lot of unhappy employees. So for the companies doing that, they gotta be careful.
Yep. And I should give credit. This was like brought up by our women's affinity group. It's something they wanted to sponsor. We connected them with Miranda on our legal team, and now the people team is helping it get off the ground. So it's kind of one of those like wonderful ideas that happen more organically from our employees themselves.
Do you the financial or the crypto? Or
not crypto. I'm not giving anyone crypto advice.
But is that because it's too volatile? Is that why kind of a little too volatile? A little like.
Oh, I don't think I would be educated enough about the crypto space for me to have
See, because that could be a big problem. So like if you offer to your people and all of a sudden it drops 30, 40%, which happens, then you have a whole bunch of angry employees.
We're not offering that.
Do you find that a lot of your employees are coming up with benefit suggestions themselves? And how does that process work?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I think for our benefits have been fairly comprehensive, and they're on the more generous side as well for a company of our stage and side. So if you look at like our employee engagement results, for the most part, it's like, we have very good benefits. Like, thank you for taking care of us, which I've never really received in an employee engagement result, but it's been nice. We've been really thoughtful like during the pandemic to make sure people were taken care of, from having like desks and proper chairs so they could be comfortable and have access to like a great like monitor in their like working environment, to like extra stipends every week to like help, you know, offset the cost of like internet and food and that kind of thing. So I think we've always really tried to meet the moment to make sure, I think we really do hire in really special talent. So we want to take like especially good care of them as well. But we're always open. People have just kind of like creative ideas. We're small enough as a company. We're north of like 260 employees. So people will come to myself or head of HR Jess if they have any suggestions. So I think people know it's an open and revolving door.
And are they creating pages internally to like crowdsource ideas or get votes to
bring it? Oh, it's nothing that wild, no.
Are you going back to the Slack to kind of put that out there and say to everybody, yeah, we should have 5 weeks of vacation. Yeah, maybe 10 weeks.
That's funny. No, I would say, I mean, yes, of course you would create like a Notion page with any suggestion that you have as well. But I think because we've always been on the more progressive side of benefits, normally I actually just get more gratitude from employees, which has honestly been really refreshing.
Gosh, that's amazing. And so I'm kind of curious, like you mentioned this already in terms of the international growth, but what are other opportunities for professional development at Notion?
Yeah, absolutely. I always think of L&D as kind of three dimensions. So there's of course the educational component, which everyone always thinks about, but I always think it's the experiences and the exposure that you have as well that actually are like a more holistic, you know, learning experience. So look, I mean, the company is going to at least double in size in terms of headcount in the next year. And just by doing that, you're going to get a host of different experiences than you would at a company that's not growing. So I think I'm always kind of mindful of that. But for all of our Notinos, that's our internal language, we have LinkedIn Learning available for anyone who wants to do any self-directed learning. For our manager development program, we have two partnerships with like great organizations. So the Mintable and the Grand. So any manager who wants to opt into training either with them or through a group with them, we of course support. And then my financial wellness, our rollout of that is kind of the next L&D feature as well. This is a place I would say we're leaning into a lot over the next year, but I think we're trying to always get that balance right of like, yes, have like courses and trainings, but equal part, just making sure all employees have a professional development plan and are aware of like the skills you're just gaining in your day-to-day role itself by being at a company that's doubling year over year.
Wow. So how would you say, what is the way to get noticed as a standout employee at Notion? Is it to kind of hit all these boxes and kind of take advantage of the learning and development opportunity, or is there something else that you'd recommend?
Yeah, I think there was like a Glassdoor review when I was interviewing when I was interviewing actually with Notion, it always stood out to me, and I think it's been true to this day. That people at Notion like overwhelmingly have like a high degree of urgency and move very, very quickly, and equal parts warmth. So equal parts like taking care of your colleagues. So I found that to be true of everyone. But how we look at talent is really what you've accomplished. So how much what is your impact? You know, like what outcomes have you driven as an individual, and then how you've accomplished those. So have you shown up as a great colleague to work with? Are you effective cross-functionally? And I think you need to look at both dimensions. So what you accomplish and how you accomplish them to actually be part of a company you want to be part of long-term.
God, that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, right now it is kind of the tail end of the review season for many employees, right, across the country. And too often they think of almost like a to-do list of all the things that I did well, but it's always that looking ahead. That's a good point that you bring up.
Yeah, we try to coach our managers that in those conversations, half of it should actually be focused on the future. I think that's what a lot of performance reviews do wrong, because it's so embedded in the past and not enough forward looking of like, well, where do you want to go in your career? And then based on that, how do we make sure you get the right experiences and education and, you know, exposures to actually help you succeed in your career? Otherwise, you're just giving feedback for feedback without it actually being grounded and helping groom someone for what is next in their career as well.
So that's really interesting, because like a lot of the larger companies that I deal with, let's say the big banks, is very much looking backwards. What did you do for me, you know, in the last year, instead of, hey, here's, let's plan out what we're doing moving forward. And I am seeing a thing, I don't know if you see it on your platform, but the start of these stay interviews. So as opposed to the exit interview, I don't know if you do it there, to really kind of do that, you know, be more progressive and say, hey, let's, you know, Jack, let's talk, let's get a sense of how you feeling, what do you want to do with your career, how do you want to move forward here, and have that to kind of keep from people leaving, because you're really kind of engaging them.
We haven't rolled that out in that kind of concept yet. I've done that at past companies. We have quarterly check-in conversations between managers and ICs, and it really is an hour just to check in on, do you understand how your work connects to the company's goals? Do you have any feedback for me as a manager? Are there things you want to work on? And so we try to keep it casual and lightweight by design, so it's not so cumbersome from the people team, and is instead about like, how do I, as your manager, just help you be the best that you can be and want to be as well.
That's amazing.
Do you, Rick and Marianne, I don't know how you feel about this. I've seen recently, I've heard more and more people, particularly from Silicon Valley area, San Fran, is that they've become more comfortable with the thought process of, okay, Jack is going to work here for a year, maybe 2 years, get a tour of duty of learning a lot, and then they could leave, and that's cool. And I'm still not I'm still trying to wrap my head around, is that good or bad? I mean, do you have that there? What do you think about that whole philosophy?
I think I might be old fashioned.
Maybe that's why I feel like, yeah.
I think that obviously, like, if someone's in a role where like they're not satisfied and they, you know, are not feeling like it's the right fit, then of course I think it's the company's job to help them gracefully leave to find the next opportunity. But I would instead love to build a company where people want to be here for the long term and feel like it's a place you can really grow your career over the coming years and decades, and not just for a small tour of duty. As well. So I think you need to do both right, but I would definitely be on this end of the spectrum of like crafting a great culture and working environment and learning and development opportunities that like employees can stay with conviction. Like I see myself working at the company at, you know, 2 years into the future.
What do you see on your side? Do you hear a lot of talk about, you know, kind of putting in 1 year, maybe two, and then you're on to the next one?
I mean, as the name of this podcast suggests, our company is quite ambitious, but it isn't necessarily kind of this like mercenary style, right? Like you go in for 1 or 2 years and you go in. Increasingly, what we're finding is, especially engineers, they are looking for the impact that Marianne mentioned, right? They want to know, I'm not just solving this problem for this tool that no one really works on, or this, you know, process that is a nice to have. They're really looking for how can we, you know, affect change and do it on a huge scale, right? You know, that's why a lot of folks, they want to work at a Google or a Facebook or Microsoft, because those systems, those products that they're building are used by hundreds of millions of people, right? Tens of millions of people or more. And that's pretty exciting, right? To say, oh, I built that, right? And I imagine you're finding it the same kind of mentality at a Notion, the employees that are coming to you.
Yeah, I think employees are excited about, I mean, we've 5x'd user growth over the past 18 months. 90% wow. of Forbes Cloud 100s have a Notion team workspace. So I think getting, if you're in really any role at the company, like you're serving and working with a lot of users, and the impact you just see continuing to kind of grow with the company as well. And I think that's what really motivates people.
I mean, one day will there just be more offices in even more countries? Is that the goal?
I hope so. I wouldn't want offices just for offices' sake, of course, but you know, we're planning to double in headcount for the foreseeable future. So, and that means to best serve our customers, we're going to need to be in lots of markets to serve where our customers are as well.
Kind of, and so what roles, I mean, to kind of conclude, so what roles or what countries are you hiring in right now?
Yes, we are hiring across the board, so pretty much any role. On the technical side, we're hiring software engineers, product managers, designers, user research. For our go-to-market teams, we're hiring people in marketing and sales and customer success and customer support, as well as insights and operations. And for more of our foundational teams, otherwise known as G&A at other companies, within people, we're hiring recruiting, learning and development, HR VPs. On finance, we're hiring in our FP&A function. And then on the legal side, hiring really across the board, but on the legal side as well. So, and then in terms of locations, we're primarily based right now in San Francisco, New York, Dublin, Korea, Japan, and Hyderabad. So pretty-
got a lot going on. I'm tired just hearing all this. Oh my God, I can't even imagine. Oh man, that's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yes. It's been, I've been here a year and a half and it's been absolutely brilliant. Like it's been just wonderful. It's been a wonderful time.
And so now it makes sense why Notion is discussed so often on why, because you're hiring for every single role in every single country you almost. Well, thanks so much. It seems like if you want a job, you should look at Notion.
Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I do review every message and get back to everyone as well. So you can always reach out to me on LinkedIn, Marianne Cahy, or of course, apply via our careers page.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. Great. Thanks so much for joining us on The Blind Ambition, Marianne.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
That's it for The Blind Ambition. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.